When we have a goal and we have it set before us, we long to reach that goal, any type of goal we set. And when we think about our citizenship in heaven, and we think about going to heaven one day, we long for that time. And sometimes it's God going through the rules that God sets forth. We've got to live this life. We don't know when we're going to depart from it. But there's things that's revealed in God's word. What happens when we die? What is going to occur? Death is a separation of our spirits from our body. We're dead when we're not connected with our body. I want you to think about that. A lot of people don't believe that. Our spirit's alive, and we talk about we're living. That's the whole definition of death. As long as you're separated from your body, you're dead. You're going to see that this evening. And we there long then for going to heaven, and yet we know that we're not going to heaven without a body. Unless rules have been changed. And unless maybe we've interpreted the scriptures in the wrong way. That's a possibility. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't try to figure out what God has revealed about what happens when we die. So this evening I would like to set that before us. We live in a time where people want citizenship in heaven, in our United States. And we've seen the borders get open, but it's not lawful. Breaking the law has been a kind of an easy way to get in when we don't have to go through the process of getting there. And that's easy for people to want, and so they do it. And our government may not apply the laws one in 4-year term, and then all of a sudden they're applying it. And it gets all confusing. God doesn't change. He has set forth his teaching. And when we have our loved ones leave us, when they depart their body, it's kind of important to know what's happening. They didn't cease to exist. But what happens when that occurs? I want us to see that this evening from the Word of God. And realize at the point of death, our body is going to be in the grave. And our spirit doesn't end, but our spirit doesn't have a body yet. There's a process we're going to go through. There's a journey we're going to take after death that sometimes we don't think about that. But the Bible teaches us that there is a place of departed spirits. It's a place of the unseen. We don't see where our loved ones go. We don't see what happens. We got the body. But what happens there? And the Bible kind of teaches us some things. This is where my departed spirit's going. It's going to the unseen, the Hadean world. Then the Old Testament, you had that in place as well. It didn't change between Old and New Testament. The Hebrew word is Sheol, which idea of departed spirits is where they go when our body goes to the grave. So with that thought in mind, we realize that how the Bible speak about that. Here's David. The cords of Sheol were round about me. The snares of death came upon me. Look at what's connected always. Death and Sheol. Sheol and death. They're not separated. Our body is separated from a spirit. But all of a sudden, here are those things around me. The King James talks about it's preventing me. The snares of death are preventing me. It's the fact they've got a hold of me. They're not allowing me to go on. The cords of Sheol were round about me. They're going to take me off to go take me to the grave. But it's always connected with death into that world of departed spirits. Luke 16 and verse 22, we have an account of when Jesus spoke. It's not necessarily a parable. He just spoke of a man. And if it were a parable, he at least let us see what happens when we die. He doesn't contradict fact because he's telling a parable. But he's given there was a certain man, not necessarily a parable. The beggar died and he's carried away by angels to Abraham's bosom. What was carried away? His body? May not have been even dignified to have a burial. He's a poor man. The beggar died, and we find that he was carried away by angels to Abraham's bosom, a place, especially for the Jew, that would be a place of comfort. You know, we are heirs of Abraham too as Christians. And there's a place of comfort that indeed we're part of them, but that's where he went. Well, that's not Hades, is it? Well, the other fellow's going to be going there. And we realize that that took place. The rich man also died. He was buried. So we got his body, and we got his separated from his spirit. His body's dead. But he is very much aware. He sees things. He remembers things. And we say, well, that's life. No, you're dead if you're separated from your body. But you're aware. And he lifted up his eyes in Hades. He was in torment. So you got a place of comfort. You got a place of torment in a Hadean realm. The unseen, we can't see that, but that's what is taking place. And so we begin to realize that's where we go. That's where they went. Now you may argue, well, that's Old Testament. We don't do that anymore. Now let's see what the facts are before we try to jump to that conclusion or discredit Luke 16 as being Old Testament stuff. It gives us an idea of what took place as Jesus told that particular story. And so we realize that Jesus, he went to the Hadean world. But he said today, as he speaks to that man being crucified with him, who looked upon him and saw his authority as being innocent and being God, I want to be in your kingdom. He said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Today, we're going to die in a few minutes or hours, but we're going to die and you'll be with me in paradise. It's what Luke 23:43 says. Well, Jesus, you're going to be somewhere where he's going to be with you. And it's a beautiful garden. It's a peaceful type of concept. Like Abraham's bosom is a comfort. You're going to be in a place like that. Where are you? When Peter preached the sermon on Pentecost after Jesus' resurrection, he spoke about Jesus not being defeated by death and knowing that he's fulfilling the scriptures of the Psalms, because thou wilt not leave my soul, my body, my soul unto Hades. I tell you, that's where he went. He went to the place of departed spirits. Neither will thou give thy Holy One to see corruption. There's his body. Where is it? It's in the tomb. Where's his spirit? It's in paradise. Where's paradise? In this context, in this part, is the beauty of a nice garden. It's in the Hades. Now, the Bible speaks about paradise in heaven, too. It's the same type of comforting thing. Is that the same thing? Well, we might want to read a little closer to our Bibles. But here's the case for the Hadean world. There's a place of comfort. There's a place of paradise. Our body is going to see corruption, but not Jesus's. In 3 days, he'd be raised from the dead. And he would be united with his spirit. And that's what is indeed going to happen. So what does that look like afterwards? What happens afterwards when there's going to be a time frame? What is going to occur that's going to change some things? There's going to be a resurrection. And the Bible tells us it's going to be a bodily resurrection. That body that went into the grave or the tomb is going to be coming out, united with your spirit. And indeed, that will be a resurrection. While you're in the spiritual realm, a spirit realm, there's a great gulf fixed. You will not get across either place. But could you get out of heaven and get out of Hades and go to heaven? Some believe that. We're investigating that. But we're just saying, here's what the Bible teaches now. And we want to be able to draw our conclusions based upon the evidence of God's word. But what we do know is a resurrection is going to take place. And everybody's going to be raised. Then the Bible teaches there will be a judgment. We have death. It's one point of man wants to die, and then cometh the judgment. Well, you left out the resurrection. Did you not get that right? No, it's just exactly right. There's going to be a judgment, and there's going to be a death. You know what's going to come between there? The resurrection. You're going to leave that out? That's the process. And we know that's going to happen. And then, on that day of the judgment, we've already been in a place of comfort, can't get out of there, we want to go the other place, but face of torment, can't get out of there, it's great, no fixed, you might want to get over there, or just say, hey, send him over here, I want to cool my tongue, I'm in a place of fire, and it torments or ham. And so that is occurring, but here comes that judgment following the resurrection. And then what happens then? Well, we either go to heaven or we go to hell. We've already determined it. I don't care what length of space it is. When we went and had your funeral, your spirit was already determined where it's going to be. It's not going to change. So what's that judgment for? The glory of God. Every knee will bow. And you're going to give account of what you've done. The judgment seat of Christ. One time Jesus on Pilate's judgment seat, he's going to be on Jesus' judgment seat one day. That day's coming. When is it going to be? It'll be the judgment. And then heaven and hell is where we'll be cast off. And we didn't change our places. We didn't have some leniency from after that. We're going to give an answer what we did when we were in our body, not what we did in Hades. That's secure comfort. Torment. And those things are going to occur. So, what is this place called hell? We go to Revelation, the 20th chapter, end of our Bibles. And he speaks about the fact of being the throne, the judgment is taking place. All these things are occurring. And we read in chapter 20 and verse 15, and he says, and if any was not found written in the book of life, he was cast into the lake of fire. Chapter 21 in verse 8 says, but for the fearful and unbelieving, and abominable murderers, fornicators, sorcerers, idolaters, all liars, their part shall be in the lake of fire, the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone. It's called the second death. I got separated from my body. And now here comes the judgment before the great white throne. And I am now going to be separated from God forevermore. That's the second death. And when people were persecuted in the book of Revelation, you will not be hurt by the second death, because you're going to be faithful even to die for the cause of Christ. But that's the second death. It is a place of the lake of fire. Hell is not Gehenna. As Gehenna, it's not Hades. It's different word. So we're looking at another process we're going through in another place. But in Mark the 9th chapter in verse 48, Jesus says very plainly that here's this Gehenna. This is the word hell we're talking about. He's not speaking about the Hadean world now. He's speaking about where we're going to end up. And to fear that, in verse 47, if thy eye cause thee to stumble, cast it out. It's good for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast to hell, where the worm dieth not. A picture of eternal corruption. It never ceases to eat, because it always has corruption to feed upon. And we think, that's the second death. They did end up destroying my whole body in the grave. There's nothing more to eat now. I'm just dust. Oh, second death. It doesn't stop. It shows its eternal nature of this being idea of a lesser state all the time. And he says, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Can we call this unquenchable fire? Where is that? It's in hell. It's total separation from God forevermore. It is a lake of fire. And where this is where mankind will meet the judgment, and this is where will be their eternal destiny. And I don't see getting out of there. I don't see where God has said, well, we're gonna create a new world. We're going to do something new. And you're going to have a second chance. That's it. And as well as that makes you sad, it ought to make us sad to say, I want to try to convert as many people so they don't go there. And help us to understand our time here is short and things are going to be rolling when a person dies. They're already determined where they're going to go. So with that, we ought to be trying to save souls. But life, eternal life, is seen in heaven. So we go back to Revelation, the 20th chapter. And on this occasion, you'll find as he's speaking about this end of time, I believe, the judgment, he speaks about there's another class of people whose names have been written in the book of life, in the book of life. In verse 12, I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne. The books were open, plural. The books were open. And he says another book was open, which is the book of life. Verse 15, we read, and if any was not found written in the book of life, he was cast into the lake of fire. Well, we know that. Jesus talked about everlasting punishment. While those who are caring about how they live their life and how they're treating their brother in that particular parable, they help those that maybe people have forgotten about and couldn't see, they're going to have everlasting life. And they're going to enjoy that, but everlasting punishment. And that's what's going to happen in hell. And that's what's going to occur. So heaven is life. And we will be connected with the body. And it's going to be eternal. It's going to be a spiritual body that never decays again. There's no way that's ever going to end. And it'll be like the glorified body of Jesus Christ. Philippians 3. He's able to change it and mold it after his glorified body. So when Jesus comes again and brings forth the resurrection and the judgment, and our bodies are raised, we're going to be raised to have that glorified body as he has. Did he have his glorified body when he rose from the dead? People think so. But I know one thing of evidence, when he showed his body after his resurrection, he could show the nails. It looked like that's the body that it didn't see corruption. And they could see that for themselves. And they could understand that for themselves. And so we begin to realize that this is what's going to happen. So I want us to see that, and here's the point I'm making. One is dead when his spirit is separated from his body. And let's just talk about Jesus. Early on a Sunday morning, Jesus has already been raised. And what happens when they come to the tomb, and his followers have done that, the women and so forth? The angel said, "Why seek ye the living with the dead?" Well, that's where Jesus' body was. While he's in the Hadean world, was he dead? Was he dead? And when did that change? When his spirit was united with his body, you're looking for a living one. He ain't here. He's not here. And that tells you death is understood being separated from the body, even though there's existence taking place, comfort and torment in that Hadean world. So our departed spirits go to a place and we are indeed dead. And we're Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. We say, well, they're alive. No, they're dead. His point is they've been dead for a long time, but they're not defeated by death. Because they're going to be raised from the dead. He's the God of the living. It may take a little time to get there. There's a process going on, and only God understands when that's going to end. But death and our bodies and being separated from that, that's what we're looking at as death. And it's that way in all the scripture. So we come back to Revelation, the 20th chapter, and I want us to see that we're looking at a judgment scene. Whatever you think about the 1,000-year reign of Christ, and then they're going to be released from all that and try to destroy the saints. Now we come, the devil that deceived him in chapter 20 and verse 10 is cast into the lake of fire. End of time things are happening. And we try to make sense of what this language is in Revelation. I realize that it's a type of language that says, well, you've got to be careful with it, and we're trying to be. But I want us to see in Revelation 20 and verse 12, you know that whose names were written in the book of life, they're part of this Hadean world. In Revelation 20, because they get to go to life. Their names are written in the book of life. And if you are in the Hadean world, you're still dead. When I saw the dead, verse 12, when I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, the books were open. Another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged. The dead were judged. I thought they're alive. He's speaking in terms of the Hadean world. When I understand what I realize, we're going to, when he comes again, we're going to be raised from the dead. Then we're going to have the judgment. But he's speaking about the dead because he's speaking about Hades. You never separate Hades from death. I don't see that in the scripture. The separation, where do I go? Until I get my body, I'm dead. Is that an ungodly concept to have? I think it's the concept that comes by faith from the Word of God. If the dead are raised before the judgment, why is he talking about the dead? The dead, the dead are being judged. Because he speaks about, I'm ready now to destroy Hades. I'm ready to destroy death. And the judgment is going to be occurring. And notice that the order is set forth there. So we look at 12 and 13. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. Why talk about the people of the book of life if they're not included here? If your spirit is still in Hades and you are still dead, he's talking about you. As well as those who are not named in the book of life. I think it's a fair reading and understanding. And they're going to give up the dead. Well, who's dead? The spirit is being given up and the death is still happening. No, they're alive. They're alive. Well, where did you get that concept? Because they're animated? Because they can see? Because they can do those things and our body can't? Maybe so. And it's sure easy to get there when you say, well, that's not the end of them. That's true. But he says that death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, even the lake of fire. Done away. What's done away? Hades? Well, yeah. What's done away? Death. And when does that occur? When does that occur? When Jesus came out of the tomb and when he ascended into heaven, that ended Christians being in Hades any longer. You go straight to heaven. That's what people believe. I'm just saying, what does the scripture say? Where does it lead us? The dead are being judged because Hades hadn't been emptied up yet. They are connected with their soul, with their body, and they're going to be judged. And when all of that is empty, when the tombs are now, the bodies are raised, and all that's connected together, death and Hades is over with. It's back there in the lake of fire. And that's what is going to happen. So let's talk about when death is going to be conquered. Because it's connected with Hades. And people try to get around it, say, well, that's the wrong translation and all of that. But I'm just looking at this. From Paul's point of view, what did he teach us when death is going to be conquered? In 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, he speaks about that chapter. And what's important about that? He's speaking about a bodily resurrection, which some brethren didn't believe in. How many of the Philetus, they were teaching things that the resurrection's already passed already. So you're destroying a person's faith because they missed out on it. But what we began to realize, he's speaking about this bodily resurrection. I'm going to ask you, when is death conquered? Chapter 15 and verse 26, he must reign till he hath put all of his enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be abolished is death. I thought Jesus took the fear of death when he was raised from the dead. He did. But we got a time waiting here. He defamed Satan, taking that fear of death out, because I'm going to be raised. Don't know when that's going to be, but I'm going to be raised from the dead. He has not conquered that. There's a day when his enemy is finally done. It's in his time. And we're still waiting for that. For he put all things in subjection under his feet, but he saith, all things are put in subjection. It's evident that he expected one to subject all things unto him. So the last enemy that's going to be abolished indeed is death. So what's that like? We'll go to the end of the chapter. In verse 53 and 54, listen to Paul describe this. For this corruptible, that's your body and mine, must put on incorruption. There's your glorified body. Incorruption. It does not deteriorate. You don't have to have any special creams put under your eyelids, men, to make you look like you're younger. You don't have to all these things to keep young. It's incorruption. And this mortal, yeah, I'm subject to death. I can die anytime. Must put on immortality, deathlessness. Jesus says you won't die anymore. You're not going to die when you go to heaven. And you shall put on incorruption, and this mortal put on immortality. Then shall come to pass to say, that's when it's going to occur, saying death is swallowed up in victory. I'm just saying Hades went with it. There's no more spirits without a body anymore. Resurrection, judgment, eternal destination, heaven, hell. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is thy victory? And this is where some say Hades in some translation. And Hades, where is thy sting? And so men will come along and say, that's the wrong translation. You know, he really meant, a lot of translations, manuscripts, put death there. So death will be no more. Oh, death, where is thy victory? Oh, death, where is thy sting? American Standard uses that. My point is, it makes no difference. Death and Hades go together. And whether Paul was using the Hadean world, because that's where death is connected with it, or he was just emphasizing death again. That doesn't mean God doesn't talk about Hades after Acts, when Jesus cleansed the way into heaven. He doesn't talk about Hades any longer. Well, he's talking about it in Revelation 20. And that's the end of our, we haven't gotten there yet. So it interests me, I hope you, that death is going to be conquered, yes. In Revelation 20, death and Hades are going to be cast off into hell. Won't be no more, it'll be no more. So that's kind of interesting. That's the victory time. When is it? It's going to be death. Now, you want to divide Hades and death? That's what's going to have to happen. But I don't see it happening at all in the scriptures. When you speak about Hades, you're talking about death, because there's a separation. Jesus, reunited with his body, is living. Tombs are where the dead are. And it's not until the resurrection, uniting of this, that we could ever be alive. Until that time, death is still going to happen to us, and we know where we go. Hadean world's not destroyed to the end time. I mean, that's the process I'm looking at and trying to observe that. So let's see Paul in 2 Corinthians. He speaks vividly about what he's inspired of God, and this is what he desires for himself. What he longs for. And he didn't want to be naked. Now, I mean, is I want my clothes at my burial. I want my body to be clothed. He's not talking about his funeral. He's talking about this perishable body being put off, and now I am in the spirit world. Or I am just a spirit. I'm naked. What are you waiting for, Paul? I'm waiting for the body so I could be clothed with immortality. That's how I want to go home with the Lord. So these things are in his mind. At least understand what he's speaking about here, what he longs for. So we're picking up in verse 2. He said, for verily in this, meaning this body, we groan, longing to be clothed upon with our habitation, which is from heaven. What is that? I'm not looking for a way that we go straight to heaven without a body. I want to be clothed upon from heaven. And it says, he that clothed me shall, says, if so be that being clothed, I shall not be found naked. I want a body covering me. For indeed, we are in this tabernacle, indeed, we are that in this tabernacle, we do groan, being burdened. Not that we be unclothed, that's not the end of me. I don't want that to be the end. I'm longing to be clothed with this body from God. But that we would be clothed upon, that what is mortal may be swallowed up of life. He kind of preaches the same thing in two letters the same day. He didn't change anything. They'd be swallowed up of life? When's that going to happen? He writes in the first letter, when he comes back again, and the resurrection happens when we're no longer separated from our bodies. That body has been changed. And what is mortal may be swallowed up of life. Now he that wrought us for this very thing is God. This is his way. This is the law. We're going to get into heaven. This is what's going to happen. And we should be able to accept that. Who gave unto us the earnest of the Spirit? Who wrought us for the same as God? Because the Spirit promises. That's the down payment. It's going to happen. And so what I do, I walk by faith, Paul says, being therefore always of good courage. And knowing that while we are at home in the body, that's in this body that we groan in, we're home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. So I'm absent from the Lord. We are good courage, as sin, are willing rather to be absent from the body and to be home with the Lord. He says that. And all of a sudden, I don't want to go the Hadean world, and thank you, Jesus, for not allowing me to do that. Could he still be looking ahead, home with the Lord? And what kind of a body? He's been making his case. I don't want to be around naked. I want to be clothed. And I guess he was wrong, because he died after Jesus had ascended, and he went straight on to heaven without a body. If not, why not? Where do you get a body? You get one on loan? Could he still be waiting for it? I mean, that's what he longs for. We're of good courage. Rather to be absent from the body and to be home with the Lord in our glorified state. Wherefore also we make it our aim, whether home or to be absent, to be well-pleasing unto him. So he's speaking about home with the Lord. And there again, I may have missed it. But see, I know how people say, I want to go straight there. I'd hate to be waiting around. And Paul, how long have you been waiting? If I'm right, he's still waiting. Still longing to be clothed with immortality and be swallowed up of life. That's how he wants to realize, I'll be home with the Lord. Then I will come again and take you under myself. Has he been doing that off and on behind the scenes? Every time a saint dies now, he goes straight to heaven? I don't read that. Is it implied? Is it necessarily inferred? That's what we have to make up in our mind. Don't make it up. We have to decide how we look at that. So We begin to look at those passages and begin to realize it's a glorified state that we're longing for. Maybe it's a little bit out here, but that's what he says. Can I wait for that? Is it destroying my faith? Because I got the earnest of the Spirit. I am going to be clothed with immortality. And Jesus is coming again to destroy death. I'm connecting Hades with it. That's when he'll destroy Hades. That's when he'll open up Hades for the saints. That's what I read. And that's why in verse 14, death and Hades destroyed when? Half of it wasn't destroyed when Jesus ascended up on high and went into heaven. That's what I'm supposed to believe. And that would be a comforting thing. Just go right now and be with the Lord. And I would hope my loved ones are there. But paradise is pretty nice. Being in the comforting presence of God, and yet still have this ahead of me and ahead of you, that's so glorious. And if it hasn't happened yet, the consequences are I need to kind of realize this might be a long journey from our point of view. But that's not the way we do it. We go right on to heaven, safe in the arms of Jesus. Receive my spirit, Stephen said. Jesus said the same thing. He went to Hades. But Stephen doesn't have to anymore. Can you receive my spirit and realize you'll be having to keep in safe company? Now I can be in a place of comfort, my spirit. Waiting, still waiting, still waiting for that end to come. Well, when Jesus speaks about things, and Paul does, so we see Jesus return, we know when it's going to be abolished. So here's is my question. Paul, this is the point that people make that say so they'll assume everything else. This is the passage. And it is one worthy of note. What is Paul saying here? He said, I want to be home of the Lord. Philippians 1:23. I'm in a strait betwixt the two, having a desire to depart. Hey, that's separation from my body. I'm going to depart this life. I don't know anybody departs this life. Well, they've done it in history, but we'll probably have to give up our body. Sometimes people take it up in a chariot. Another thought, time to deal with that. But having desire to part and be with Christ. Could I still say that and still have a lot of time in between before I do that? Get that done? That what God has revealed is in place. Can I still say that? I want to depart this life. He's already told us in 2 Corinthians 5. He doesn't want to just remain unclothed. His glory is God's glory. And that's when it's going to happen. So it's, I want to be with Christ. So therefore, when I die and leave this body, I go be with Christ. Where is Christ? He's in heaven. And therefore, you don't go there with a body, at least they teach that. But you go there with a spirit. And today there must be a lot of spirits unclothed in heaven. If that's the case, has Paul quit hoping? Has he quit trusting? No, you could say he's still waiting like everybody else. But they're going to leave heaven and come back here and be joined to their body that's connected from the grave. And then they can go in their glorified state. Paul says the glorified state is the only thing I know of. And I'm just saying it can still fit with depart and be with Christ, depart, be at home with the Lord. And Paul is addressing that in that glorified state. That has not happened yet, unless you think going to heaven without a body is glorified. And you may. But the Bible doesn't teach that. I said it may be delayed satisfaction. And even with Paul, I know it is because he doesn't want to be naked. And he's naked, unless you've got some information for me. And I'm just saying, why invent that when we could be in a place of comfort and still waiting for something that's going to be so glorious ahead of us? And that becomes important. Well, the Bible says he cleansed the way, and therefore that's what this is about. In Hebrews, the 10th chapter, we see it in chapters 8, 9, but 9 and 10, but I use Hebrews 10, 19 through 22, because others are in the same realm. What was the Hebrew writer saying what Christ accomplished when he went to heaven? He cleansed the way. He did. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holy place by the blood of Jesus. Now, Paul says, I'm able to enter into the holy place because Jesus shed his blood and ratified being sent up on the heaven. So through the shedding of his blood, I can go to the holy place. And that, I'm going into the sanctuary. I'm going to heaven. By the way which he dedicated for us, a new and living way. After his resurrection, it's new and living. So this is the concept of Spirit's goal. Through the veil, that is to say his flesh. So Jesus died. That's why my soul's not left in the Hades. That was going to be how we're going to get to heaven now. And having a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with true heart and fullness of faith. How can I draw near? I'm not home yet. I can draw near. Having our heart sprinkled from an evil conscience and having our body washed with pure water. Yes, my guilt of sins taken away. I have now been cleansed by the blood of Christ through baptism. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope, that it waver not, for he's faithful that promise. And let us consider one another, provoke unto love and good works. We're still in the body. And we can draw close to God without being there. He said, I'm not cleansing the way so your spirit can go to heaven now. He is saying that the Old Testament with its temple and the priest having to offer the sacrifices, Jesus opened that up. That I have access to the Heavenly Father. I have a high priest that will never die who intercedes for us. He cleansed the way that I can have a relationship with my Father, though I am sinful, but I have been cleansed. And baptism. He's speaking about me in the body now, and you in the body, having that access to draw near unto God. And yet that's used to show that your spirit is now cleansed to go there, and you just make up your mind. And what has happened is that we've got a passage, I want to be home with the Lord. Now we've got something, and we take it out of its context, cleansing the way. We just say, the way is my spirit going now to heaven. But when is that going to occur? We want it now. It's more comforting now. And therefore, it's going to be that way. And we've got to find ways to see that. Well, I'm looking at those ways, and it doesn't seem to fit with me. And I just ask you, when we think about the idea of going to the Lord, is it difficult for you to realize that maybe there's going to be a lot more time left before we get our new body after we're in the grave? David's been dead a long time. What do you mean dead? He's been separated from his body. Jesus was alive when he was connected with his body. Death and Hades are always connected. And we know when it's going to be destroyed. And Paul said, I want my body to be one that's swallowed up of life. And he said, that's going to happen when Jesus comes back again and death will be no more. And the implication of that, if that's true, and we're raised before the judgment, we're going to look different. We've got a spiritual, glorified body just like Jesus. And the world's going to know who the Christian is, if that's true. I thought, well, maybe the resurrection happens afterwards, after the judgment. Because Revelation 20, the dead, you know, are judged. Then I realized the dead is being talked about because we're emptying Hades in that context. And so when I deal with the resurrection, we're going to be raised. The dead in Christ will be raised first, and they're going to be raised incorruptible, and we're going to be changed. We didn't change. Well, I didn't know I was going to make it to heaven or not. We've known that since the funeral, regardless of what they're said about you. We know. And we had to wait and to wait. Paul's still waiting, unless you think he got a body. And he's got it glorified. He went on there, maybe like ascension of Mary, which we don't believe. But if that's the case, he's still separated. And he's still hoping. And he's still with patience waiting for it. Can you do that for the next 1,000 years on our time? We may not even be aware of time in that dimension. I hope we're not aware. I just hope it's just joy. But think about that. I think God has made it pretty plain how it is. And I'm just saying, sometimes I say, why would we ever think of that? Because at a time we're Christians, we want to be home with the Lord, and we found a way to get there before God has said we're going there. And I'm saying, back up a little bit and realize that by faith, I may have to wait for 2,000 years in our time. But I will have the courage, I will have the hope, and I will have the patience. I can't wait for that. And God will come when he's determined to do that. And when Jesus comes, the loud voice, the dead will be raised, their body will be raised, they'll be connected with their spirit, and they're living. And they will be judged according to what they did. Not in your new body, Christian. This is the glorified state. It's what you did in your body. It's determined a long time ago at your funeral. But it's all about the glory of God in the judgment. But we will look different. And I don't know what our body is going to be. It's a spiritual body. But a body is going to be raised from the grave. There are people are going to be in hell forevermore. That ain't living. And it may not be a different body than what they had while they're here. But we're going to be different if we're a Christian. And I'm just saying, have patience. Wait on it. Wait on the Lord. And we may be having to do that after we leave this body. Study these scriptures. And hopefully it will give us security of what it does say. Instead of saying, hey, I think it happened this way and this is how it occurred. And looking at passages and maybe taking them out of context. And you decide that for yourself. I have. This evening, if you're not a child of God, it's just kind of interesting. God has told us what's going to happen when we die. And I want to talk about what are you going to do now that you're alive? A lot of times people say, I just can't condemn my parents to hell because they didn't live the life of a Christian. Now you're telling me I've got to be baptized for remission of my sins. They didn't do that. And I don't want to send them to hell. You're not. They're sinning themselves. But I tell you, in Luke the 16th chapter, that said, I've got 5 brethren. I want you to go warn them. I don't want them to come this place. And we don't want you to go to hell either. And people who go there don't want you to be there. When they're in the Hadean world now, all their torments, and there's not going to be any out for them. They don't want you to go there. Listen to what God says. I came to give you life and to give it more abundantly. And that life is going to deal when you die here, but you will not be hurt by the second death because you're going to enjoy eternal life with God, but it will be on his time. And he's given us an outline that it may be a while. It may be a while that we're looking at that occurring. So be it. Tonight, if you need to make things right with God, we're here to help you. Come as we stand and as we sing.